From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, all right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starr's radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. And we have got a lot to go through. We are waiting to hear from Kamala Harris. She's about to unveil what is quite frankly a communist manifesto for the United States of America. Kamala Harris is going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she is going to be unveiling her economic policies. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. I want to start out, though, by saying thank you. Yesterday, we announced that we were entering a crucial phase of our efforts to raise money to feed children in need, impoverished children, and to get these kids clean drinking water. And I just want to say thank you. You guys really knocked it out of the ballpark yesterday. We had a number of people that went onto the website, and you gave money, and we're going to do it again today. We're calling today $5 Friday, and all we're asking, because we know money is super tight across the entire country, but we're just asking for $5. If you can spare $5, we want you to go right now to toddstearns.com and click on that red Give Life banner on the website. When you give that $5, you are going to be helping feed children for up to a year. There are other opportunities. If you want to get more than $5, that's great. But we're just asking $5 Friday. Just give $5, and you can do that by going to toddstearns.com. You can also take out your phone and text Todd to 51555. That's Todd to 51555, and you'll be able to give a donation. We need your help. We're trying to raise $20,000. We have a little ways to go. But if we just had 1,000 people today, giving $5 a person, we are almost well over halfway to our goal. So we certainly appreciate your efforts there, and we'll remind you throughout the program today. So look, I want to start here with a little weird thing that happened yesterday. So Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have been trying to establish themselves as this Obama-Biden rapport, and it's really not working out. The whole thing looks incredibly forced, and it's also very creepy. So yesterday, Tim Walz was explaining to Kamala Harris why he eats something called white guy tacos. Cut number six.
Like, I have white guy tacos and
what is like that? Black, like mayonnaise and tuna? What are you doing?
Pretty much ground beef and cheese.
That's okay. Do you put any flavor in it?
No. Oh. Here's the deal. No, they said to be careful and let her know this, that black pepper is the top of the spice level in Minnesota, you know?
I'm the first vice president, I believe, who has ever grown chili peppers.
I'm trying to expand my food knowledge.
You know, we've got some cantaloupes. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Cantaloupes? Who eats cantaloupe? Dylan, you're white. Do you eat cantaloupe?
Not very often.
Can we find Ben Dieter? I know he's around here somewhere. He's a white guy.
He likes the fruit, though.
Well, he does. Is cantaloupe a fruit?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Is that that's the orange one. Is that right?
Yeah.
The honeydew melon. That's the green one.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. So apparently, according to, I don't know, Kamala Harris, all of us white people, we eat mayonnaise and cantaloupe. What? So I did a little bit of digging here. I just found this very hard to believe. And the argument they're trying to make is that white people can't handle spicy food. Now, first of all, when Timmy Walz was a congressman, he actually won a contest. So they had this big contest, a culinary contest, and you had to make your favorite recipe. And if you did, you won some sort of a dish or something. I don't know. It's like a prize. His recipe was Tim's Turkey Taco Tot Hot Dish. What the hell is a taco tot? Is that like a tater tot? That's very strange. Anyway, Tim's Turkey Taco Tot Hot Dish. And among the hot dish ingredients were green chilies, taco sauce, and chili powder. So this guy is lying. Not only does he lie about his military service, this guy is lying about his digestive system, for crying out loud. I don't get this. It's all fake. It's all fake, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, what is up with all this anti-white racism? coming from the Democrats. I'm serious about that. I mean, Kamala Harris is now suggesting that white guy tacos were basically mayonnaise and tuna. That is not a taco, ma'am. That is not a taco. It is a sandwich. Do only white people? I thought, don't black people eat tuna? Is that, or is that just a white thing? Dylan, do you eat tuna fish?
Todd, you're asking the pickiest eater ever.
Oh, that is true.
You need to pull more white people.
Yeah, that's true. All right, white people of America. And I'm curious, all of our black listeners out there as well, which is mostly Memphis, is that true that black people don't eat tuna? Do black people not eat mayonnaise as well? What's up with that? I don't get it. I know plenty of white people who love spicy food. Like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I love spicy food. I go to Popeyes, I'll have a two-piece spicy, please. And then you've got the whole lineup over there at Chipotle? I always have a problem with Chipotle. I like the carnitas, please. So anyway, there you go. The only thing, and it just, again, hear me out on this. The only thing that gives us people of the Caucasian persuasion acid indigestion are professional race agitators like Kamala the Commie or Taco Timmy here. That's what really sets me off. I may need some Pepto before the end of this segment. So there you go. Liars, liars. By the way, today is Open Line Friday, so you're able to call in today on Friday, and we reserve this exclusively for Friday, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. But I am curious to know if black people, if it's true that black people do not eat tuna fish. I just find this very hard to believe. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to get to this speech that Kamala Harris is about to deliver. Ladies and gentlemen, we were the first radio talk show in America to alert you to Kamala Harris's father, the Marxist economist at Stanford University. This guy was so far off the reservation that there was an effort by Stanford not to give this man tenure. I mean, he's a radical communist. And I warned you at the time and in subsequent conversations that my concern is that the apple did not fall far from that tree. And now we have Kamala Harris coming out, and I want to play some audio here. This is a collection of Kamala Harris explaining her economic policies.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution. Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place, right? We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles. Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base. We see that people in our country are having an experience that is not equal. So when we talk about the work we are doing here together, it is recognizing that and being guided by this principle of what we must do in the spirit and in the interest of equity. To put equity firmly at the center of our economic policy. But no, if you look at the reality of who will benefit from certain policies, when you take into account that they're not starting at the same place and they're not starting on equal footing, it will directly benefit black children, black families, black homeowners.
So you can call this what you want to call it, but this is a redistribution of the wealth that will happen if Kamala Harris is elected president. Now, before we get into that, this is such a dangerous thing, talking about implementing price controls. Even the far left Washington Compost, even those folks think this woman is off her rocker. This is the literal headline coming out of the Washington Compost today. When your opponent calls you communist, maybe don't propose price controls. And here's the subheading of that headline. If that doesn't grab you, it's hard to exaggerate how bad Kamala Harris's price gouging proposal is. I'm not going to get into the weeds here, but let me explain this to you. If these price controls are implemented, and the issue here is, and we've all been there, you go to the grocery store and you can't buy anything. It's just so expensive. So Kamala Harris, she's blaming the grocery store. She's accusing them of price gouging. But it's not price gouging. It's the economic policies of the Biden administration that's causing everything to go up. But let me explain what's going to happen. If she implements price controls, there will be nothing in your local supermarket. There will be nothing on the shelves. That's how dangerous of a policy this is. So Kamala Harris is basically saying, well, the problem is that people that are, you know, selling you Jif peanut butter, extra crunchy, they're actually gouging you. And so we're going to crack down on that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely insane. But here's, if I were Joe Biden, and you know Joe Biden right now is enraged and he is looking for payback over what the Democrats did to him. And Trump is right. You do kind of feel bad for the guy because he was the victim of a coup and did not see it coming. But if I were Joe Biden, here's what I would do if I were Joe Biden. I would immediately implement Kamala Harris's economic policies right now. Implement price controls right now. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the American people will suffer. All of us will suffer. But you know what's going to happen? Come Election Day, there will be a landslide victory for Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance. And the people that are going to be going to the polls voting for those two men because they want their tuna fish back. 901-260-5926. Again, we're going to get into this crazy stuff that she's... Folks, I just can't explain to you how dire of a situation we are going to be in if this woman gets elected president. This will literally destroy the nation and our economy. Complete destruction. All of us will be in bread lines. You want to see how price controls work out? Just look at what happened in the old Soviet Union, where they had bread lines, people lining up just to get a loaf of bread. All right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. Memphis, Tennessee, Tuna Tom is on the line. Tuna Tom, good to have you. Now, first of all, are you a white guy or a black guy?
Well, I've been accused of being both.
Oh, okay, so you can go either way, I see, in the pigmentation.
Yeah, anyway, but the thing about tuna is, you can't put a lot of, in a tuna salad, or any kind of salad, you can't put a lot of mayonnaise in it. You know, there's so many people out there that put fillers and mayonnaise, and those are the main ingredients. If you look at the ingredient letters on them, the first thing on there is the main ingredient, the most in there. And a lot of these things that you see in the store, you will see things that have things other than tuna as their first ingredient. So you know you want to stay away from that, but you can't put a lot in there. And as for price control, I just heard you talking about that. They've talked about that stuff for years, and you can blame it on, you know, you can say whatever about foreign countries. But think about what happened under Nixon. Nixon instituted price controls in 72, 73, and they got around them by changing the packaging or changing the ingredient, and then just changed the price. I mean, the people are too smart for the government.
Well, it's going to end badly. It will. And to your point about the tuna, so what you're saying is that just a little dollop of white mayo will do you. So you don't want to have too much white mayo in the tuna.
No. Right. No, it's tuna salad, not mayo salad.
I think there may be something racist about that. I don't know. Tuna Tom, thank you for that. Yeah, I don't like a lot of mayo in there. I'm just, I think a lot too many white people may. I don't know. You could go either way with that. All right. It is Open Line Friday. We do have to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to the website. Again, $5 Friday. And we want you to help out. Let's feed some poor kids today. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. Today, you have the power to relieve suffering for children throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, these are children who do not have reliable access to the essentials of life, like food or clean water. But today, you can change that. I'm partnering with Food for the Poor to rush emergency food relief to hungry children and to provide a community with access to water. Now, this is a headline that you can do something about. Today, because of a match, your generous gift of $200 provides four children with a year's worth of food and helps a community gain access to fresh water. There are several ways to make your gift. Go to ToddStearns.com and click on the red Give Life banner, or you can call my toll-free number at 855-353-4673. That's ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Give Life banner, or call my toll-free number 855-353-HOPE. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Friday edition of the show. Tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'll be filling in on Newsmax tonight, hosting Prime News. Hope you watch us tonight. We're going to have a great, great lineup of guests. Let's go to the phone lines here. Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Joe from LJ, Georgia, joins us. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind? Hello, Joe. All right. We'll get back to Joe later. Guys, let's keep an eye on those phones. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go back and I want to go back and play some audio here from yesterday. Joe Biden, completely out of control. He is enraged and he's mad at the world right now. He's mad at his own party because they betrayed him. They stabbed him in the back. He's mad at Donald Trump because he knows that Trump is about to get reelected and that Trump was right on every single one of his policies. Here's Joe Biden yesterday, cut number 8.
Let me tell you what our Project 2025 is. Beat the hell out of him. I mean it.
Oh, I think we know that he means it. And again, folks, the media will, they're going to spin this. First of all, the media is completely ignoring that, right? They just ignored a physical threat of violence against conservatives. Now, if Donald Trump had said something like this, then all you know what would be breaking loose. But here's the problem. That kind of language is what gets people shot, like what happened to President Trump a few weeks ago back in Butler County, Pennsylvania. It's that kind of language. But the Democrats, and again, folks, if you are a conservative, if you are a Republican, I hate to break this to you, but there's a great big target on you, and they're going to be coming after you. So you just have to make sure that you know, are always aware of your surroundings and you watch your six, because these are very dangerous, unhinged people. Joe Biden is like a wounded animal. You've got him in a corner, and the guy is going to be lashing out. The whole family's off the charts crazy loons, but they're going to be coming after us. But it sure would be nice for Joe Biden to stick it to the Democrats by jumping back in this race. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Head over to ToddStearns.com right now. Click on our red Give Life banner. $5 Friday. Let's feed some poor kids today. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. toppers and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right. We have a wild conversation going on right now over on the Rumble live chat. A lot of people are weighing in on Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, and this is interesting. I'm scrolling through the conversation is wild. A lot of people weighing in, but Jay Lawkirk writes this, and it's a very fair statement. Kamala says she was proposing a $25,000 down payment for first-time homebuyers. How is that fair for us hardworking Americans who work their butts off to save up for a down payment? I mean, it is an absolutely, absolutely fair statement. And again, this is part of the proposal that Kamala is going to unleash later today in Raleigh, North Carolina. We already know the Biden administration is out there, and they're stealing money from American taxpayers, and they're giving it to these college kids, these deadbeats who are not paying their student loans back. And yes, if you are not paying back your student loan, the loan you took out, you refuse to pay that back, and then you're out there saying the American taxpayers have to go back, and we've got to cover your stupidity, that makes you a deadbeat American. I got no problem saying that. But all the Democrats are doing are literally taking money away from hardworking people, and they're giving it to people who don't deserve it. And that's what's about to happen. You, this $25,000 that Kamala Harris is proposing, that's coming from our tax money. And by the way, it is not going to work. Anybody want to remember what happened and what led to the housing collapse back in 2008? You had people who could not afford homes getting loans they could not pay back. And then the American people, we nearly lost the country, folks. We came very close to economic collapse back in 2008. Even the Federal Reserve is saying corporate greed is not to blame for the high prices out there. And I mean, some of these headlines, and again, this is how dangerous Kamala Harris's policies are. From The Guardian, price controls and scarcity force Venezuelans to turn to the black market for things like milk and toilet paper. CNN, think corporate greed is the leading cause of inflation? Think again. The New York Times, price controls on food are usually futile. The New York Times again, with Venezuelan food shortages, some blame price controls. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Steve, how are you?
I'm going to throw another conspiracy theory out there, Todd, but it seems like that's about all we have to go on these days. You've said it several times, and I've always believed it. The Democrat candidate in 24 is going to be Big Mike, Michelle Obama. Maybe the reason Kamala won't interview and won't do a press conference is why put herself through that when she knows she's not going to actually be on the ballot in November anyway.
You know, I don't want to pour gasoline on your simmering conspiracy theory there, Steve, but have you noticed that Kamala and Tim are not talking about the DNC? You know, they're not saying, hey, we're looking forward to seeing you in Chicago. There's no build up to anything.
I believe that the Obamas feel they're above having to get out there and campaign. They're above. It's way below them to have to get out there and actually talk to people and ask for their votes. So they're going to put Michelle in there, but they're going to wait till the last minute where she doesn't have to campaign, she doesn't have to debate. She can just get up to there as the savior and say, "It's all right, everybody, and Obama's here to save us."
Or is it possible, Steve, again, not to pour even more gasoline on now our simmering fire, Is it possible they know they don't need to campaign because they've already got this in the bag?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I kind of meant when I said they believe that they're above that. That's kind of where I think this is going. Tell me what logical reason she would just refuse to keep talking to the press or anything when it's getting pretty obvious that's starting to hurt her. Even her press is starting to turn on her about it.
It's a fair statement, Steve. And something is off here, and I feel like the entire nation right now is being fed a lie coming from the Democrats. They've got something else up. And when you start hearing things like price controls, when you start hearing things like rewriting negative headlines on social media, and really skewing with the American people and their mind, it's almost as if some big psyop is happening on the American people right now.
And I think that's kind of some of the logic behind my conspiracy theory is Michelle and Barack can step in here, say, in October, at the 1st of October, and say, Kamala gets the hook like Joe did, and they step in here and say, we're here to save you, and all that's, we're going back to the good days of when the Obamas were in power.
Mm. All right. Well, Steve, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. There is, and Steve is right, there's really only conspiracy theories to go on, and as crazy as it is, a lot of these theories are becoming reality. And there is a reason why they are keeping her away from the media. And yes, I know she's a dingbat, but I think when people see the magnitude of how leftist this woman really is, nobody's going to be cackling. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Here's Frank Luntz over on CNN. He says he's been doing all of these focus groups, and he says Americans have a real concern by how extremist Kamala Harris is. Cut one.
Frank, do you think there's anything that could take Kamala Harris down kind of off of this high? Because, I mean, my experience covering every campaign has tough moments, right? They all do. It's inevitable. And the question is, how do you handle them when they come? This is a campaign that's have to pull together really quickly. They're not necessarily, you know, they haven't faced something like that before. But that said, it is such a compressed time period. I mean, do you see a coming back down to earth? And if so, how?
Well, it's going to be in the debate September 10th. It's going to be the debate heard around the world. Look, the issue right now is Donald Trump reminds women of their first husband, of their first husband's divorce lawyer. He's got a problem in how he attacks and how he presents himself. And I assume that his campaign is telling him this. For her, she's got to show that she's got the answers, that she has the solutions, and she's not extreme. This is the one thing that I hear in my focus groups, a real concern that her politics, she's from California, she did not even make it to the very first caucus. She participated in the debates and did not do well. So voters are asking themselves, what's behind the aura? What's behind the persona? They like the persona. They don't know the details. And the next 80 days, that's exactly what you'll have to provide. Are they centrist? Are they mainstream? Or are they extreme? That's your challenge.
By the way, going back to the 1970s, when Nixon implemented the first price controls since World War II. And at first, it was a great political success story, but the aftermath and the impact, it nearly brought down the country because those price controls led to the recession of 1975. I remember this as a little kid. I remember having to sit in the gas lines with my dad, and some of you out there remember these days, and it might be good to call in to remind our millennial and Gen Z listeners about what we can expect here, because you had stagflation in the 1970s, and the long gas lines during the Carter years, and it really took Ronald Reagan. All of those things eventually led to Ronald Reagan being elected in a landslide in 1980, but it nearly killed the American people. And I can't, if you can imagine just having to spend hours waiting in line just to get some gasoline, and by the time you got up there, most of the pumps were just empty. I mean, it really was that bad. Let's go to Chris listening to us on WTJS in West Tennessee. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today? What's your question?
Hey, Todd. I'm just curious if you think the media will ever, the pendulum will ever swing back toward the right. I think from the time that the Clintons moved in the White House in 92, things kept sliding further and further, and a lot of the ABC, CBS, it really kind of shocked me by the time we hit the Barack Obama days, how they had all gone to the left. Do you think that things will ever switch back?
I don't think so, not in an organic way, Chris. And the reason why is what you just said. We now have a generation of newsrooms that are controlled by activists. These are not true journalists, true reporters. They're activists. And I would almost be okay with it, Chris, if they would at least be honest about it. But they're not. You know, I mean, the radio station I own in Memphis, we're very clear the worldview we're coming from. And I'm not ashamed about that. I don't hide it. But we're going to be fair to people who come on. But that's our worldview. So Chris, I think if we really want to try and change it, one of the ways to do that is to focus on the journalism schools. And right now, there just are not enough good Christian universities, conservative schools that are churning out journalists like we need to at the numbers we need to really influence the newsrooms. Chris, can I give you an example real quick, if that's okay?
Yeah, please.
Fox News Channel, at which I worked there for almost 15 years, and I'll never forget having a conversation with the number two guy there, Bill Schein, who's just a great fella. And we were sitting down one day, and he said, you know, what's interesting about Fox is that only about 2% of the employees would consider themselves to be conservative. Out of that number, maybe 0.5% would be religiously conservative. And then he said, somebody like you, Starnes, who is a conservative Christian, maybe 0.2% of the people in the building were employed. Chris, that was Fox News Channel.
Yikes.
So that's how.
Well, thanks, Todd.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to do it. And look, I'm not saying don't read the New York Times or don't read the Washington Post. I mean, sometimes, they're going to get the story right. But by and large, you know, it's important to read a lot of different perspectives so you get a pretty good idea of what's really going on. It didn't used to be like that, Chris. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. That's a great question, Chris. Appreciate you calling in today. Thank you for that. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Open line Friday. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us, everybody. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Senator J.D. Vance right now in Milwaukee, and he is holding a press event at the Milwaukee Police Association, and he is calling out Kamala Harris's time as Attorney General and District Attorney in San Francisco. And just a reminder here, her policies, her soft-on-crime policies, led to the destruction of San Francisco. This is Senator Vance just a few seconds ago.
So Kamala Harris is on a tour where she's trying to redefine her record as a tough-on-crime prosecutor. And yet if you look at Kamala Harris's record as a prosecutor, it is the opposite of tough-on-crime. For example, Kamala Harris pursued a policy that would recategorize people who had committed sex crimes with minors and people who had raped unconscious victims as nonviolent crimes. And what does that mean? That means those people get out of prison earlier. That means their victims have to suffer the psychological abuse of seeing them walking around our streets sooner. And that means the police officer have a few more sickos that they have to take care of instead of being in prison where those sex offenders belong. If Kamala Harris was so tough on crime, why is she making it easier for sex offenders to get out of prison? I think the media should ask her that question. Of course, Kamala Harris refuses to answer questions, but this is important stuff. I grew up in a family where we didn't have a whole lot of money, and I was raised by a tough-as-nails grandmother who, despite the fact that we didn't always live in the easiest neighborhood, we had something that our country believed every child deserved. Whether they were rich or poor, our country believed that every child deserved public safety. And as Republicans, we don't think the government should do everything, but the things that it needs to do, it has to do well, and public safety is at the very top of the list. How can you have a country? How can you have an American dream? How can you have poor children who look to the future with optimism and hope if they can't walk down the streets of their neighborhood safely? And these police officers fight to make that a reality every single day. And Kamala Harris is making their job harder, and Donald Trump is going to make their lives easier. That's why we're going to reelect him, the 47th president of the United States.
I find it fascinating, though, that in the media's world, someone like J.D. Vance, who is a straight man married to a woman, they've got a couple of great kids, that's weird to the media. Going back to a previous caller we had, Chris, and the reason why they look at somebody like J.D. Vance as weird is because that's not them. They more align with the drag queens and the pronoun confused mobs. Those are the people running our newsrooms right now. Hey, let's go to Bill in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I just want to say, you know, listening to you, we need to keep President Trump on task and focus on the issues. We've got, you know, 80-some days to the election, and we need to keep him going on task. We know that Kamala is a liar. But he's called her out on that, and we need to focus on his issues to make America great.
Bill, I completely agree with you. I was glad to see Corey Lewandowski coming back into the fold. That news coming out yesterday, that is a good move by President Trump. But you're right. This is all about keeping President Trump on message. And if we do that, like the president did yesterday. What a brilliant press conference the president gave yesterday. Did you see that? The president surrounded by all these groceries, and the president was going around explaining how much these groceries had increased in price since Joe Biden took office. I mean, he had like, what, the Cheerios there? He had Jimmy Dean sausage? I mean, I was pretty impressed. Well done, Mr. President. All right, real quick, let's go to Joe in Ellijay, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Todd, you do great on Newsmax. I'll be watching tonight, and I think you and Newsmax will give Trump a big win. Kamala's a far-left socialist, and we don't need price controls, but you're doing a great job, and please keep up the great work.
Well, Joe, always appreciate your kind words of affirmation, and that is correct. Tonight, 8 o'clock, I'll be hosting Prime News. Hope you tune in. We're going to have a lot of fun. Then tomorrow, I'll be hosting the two-hour pre-Trump rally show on Newsmax, so they're going to keep me pretty busy over the weekend. Folks, do not go anywhere. We have just a great, great lineup coming up a little bit later on in the program. Want to encourage you to get on the phone lines now for Open Line Friday. That number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And during the break, head over. I know it's the lunch hour. Head over to the website, toddstearns.com, and you can click on that Give Life banner. When you do, $5 Friday. We are asking you to donate $5. Let's help feed hungry, poor children. You're going to be able to help us do that. by going to ToddStearns.com right now and clicking on that website banner. We'll be right back, America.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Wow, this is the day that Kamala Harris goes full-blown communist on us. She's delivering a speech a little bit later on in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we'll keep you updated on that. Also, you know, a lot of people are now doing a deep dive into Tim Walz, who is very, very connected to China and has spent a lot of time in China. A lot of people now calling him Tiananmen Timmy, along with Taco Timmy and Tampon Timmy. The guy's catching a lot of nicknames, and they're not all flattering, to be perfectly honest with you. So anyway, Kamala Harris is now vowing to take this country down a very dangerous path of price controls, announcing her economic policies today in this speech. Washington Post is going bonkers. They're saying that Kamala Harris is heading down a very dangerous, dangerous path, and she is. I mean, when you look at what they are doing and the money they are stealing from hardworking American citizens, I still can't get my head wrapped. They want to give $6,000 tax credits for people who have newborn babies, among other things. But I want to go back to the whole idea of just forgiving these loans, and they're really not even forgiving the loans. They're just canceling the loans. All of these people went out there and they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on loans to get a degree in LGBT studies. And now all of a sudden they can't find work and they can't pay back their bills and their loans. So we're stuck with that, the American taxpayer. And my question is, what about all the kids who didn't go to college? What about all the kids who actually paid off their loans? Are they going to get a refund? Will all of the kids who went to vocational school or just went right into the job market, what about those kids? Will they get some sort of a rebate? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. So anyway, we'll be following those developments. Donald Trump talked about all of this yesterday during a spectacular press conference, which, by the way, Kamala still has not held. And President Trump went on and on and on. And cut number 13, please.
I'd have to say, you're looking at things behind me. They did a nice job. Wow. I haven't gotten to see. That's good. I don't like the tags very much. Look at that. Up 46% eggs. Wow. Up 65%. Wow. School lunch is up 65%. How can a family afford that? But look at this over here. What a nice job. I think I'm going to take some of them back to my cottage and have a lot of fun. Like the Cheerios. I haven't seen Cheerios in a long time. I'm going to take them back with me. Bacon is through the roof. They're all through the roof. The milk. Everything is bad, and we're going to straighten it out. We're going to bring prices way down, and we'll get it done fast. And with her, it's just talk. She's a radical left San Francisco person who destroyed the place. And I don't know. It's hard to believe that she can even be in the discussion.
All right, there you go. And he's right about that. By the way, have you heard about this story? There's now an official investigation underway involving a Secret Service agent. And the Secret Service agent was apparently caught breastfeeding her child. We're assuming it was a female, right? It was, in fact, a biological female Secret Service agent who was breastfeeding the child. Otherwise, that would be awkward and a bit unpleasant for the child, I have to imagine. So anyway, this was all happening in Asheville, North Carolina, and a Secret Service agent, a female agent, abandoned her post so that she could breastfeed her child. Now, a lot of people were wondering, and I just have so many questions here. First of all, how is it that the agent was able to bring the newborn into the job site? I mean, aren't there rules and regulations about that? I mean, God forbid you holster your weapon when you were supposed to holster your nipple. I don't know. I mean, how do you do that? And not only that, it just seems to me that of all the jobs out there, and I understand the new modern woke world, I get that where, you know, even the female news anchors now can breastfeed their children during a newscast or whatever. I don't know. Isn't that a little dangerous? Isn't that a dangerous environment to breastfeed a child in? But especially in the aftermath of the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump, you would think that they would be surrounding the president with the best of the best. But this agent literally left her post. She abandoned her post to go and breastfeed her child. Now, the Secret Service has now acknowledged the allegations, and they are investigating. The Secret Service says while there was no impact to the North Carolina event, the specifics of the incident are being examined. Given this is a personnel matter, we're not in a position. They're not going to comment. They're not going to comment. Real Clear Politics correspondent Susan Crabtree was the very first to report on all of this. And she gave no, again, there was no warning. There was no advance notice. She just up and left and went to go feed the kid. According to Crabtree, the site agent went to do one final sweep of the walking route and found the agent breastfeeding her child in a room that is supposed to be set aside for important Secret Service official work, i.e. a potential emergency related to the president. I mean, imagine if President Trump had walked in. That would have been awkward. Crabtree added that a working agent on duty may not bring a child to a protective assignment. The agent in question was from the Atlanta field office. My question almost immediately is, was this woman a diversity hire? Was she a DEI hire? Now, there's also reporting that the woman's family was there, and they were the ones that brought the child to the mother. So, there we have it. Another incident, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what happens when you do not hire the best of the best, and you just hire people because they're a particular skin color or if they're female. This is what happens. Did you hear about the, there was another Secret Service agent. Have you heard about this one? Where apparently the Secret Service agent, and again, I have full respect for this agent. There was a Secret Service agent, and the agent became ill. Apparently, there was some issue regarding a food poisoning incident, but the agent, instead of leaving his or her post, pooped his pants. And I'm sorry, but that is people are going to chuckle about that. But the reality is that this is how faithful you have to be to your job if you're a Secret Service agent. That if you poop your pants, you stay and you man your post. Anyway, thoughts and prayers with the Secret Service agent. Hopefully they packed a spare, pair of pants. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It is open line Friday. Also, we are raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor. We are feeding hungry children today on this radio program. $5 is all we're asking. $5 Friday. Go to ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Give Life banner at the very top of the page and help us reach our goal of $20,000 so that we can feed thousands of starving children for an entire year. We'll be right back.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
All right, any of you folks looking for a job, Kamala is hiring, and they are looking for, oh, by the way, you have to be vaxxed up. That's one of the new rules. If you're wanting a job with Kamala, you've got to have your vaccine papers. But here's what gets me, and Dylan, I don't know, you're a little worldly. I mean, you've been out there, you're young. Back when I was in school, we only had, we had male and female pronouns.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But now you're required, if you're going to apply for a job, you have to actually announce your pronouns.
Oh, boy.
So you've got the God given pronouns, the he and the him and the she and the her. Right. Then it gets a little weird. So they're hiring people with the pronouns XE or XEM. If you have the pronouns Z/her, H-I-R, you could get a job. Then you have the I/M, E-Y/E-M. I'm not sure what I've never heard of that one. There's also a hoo-hoo. So if you identify as a hoo-hoo, that's H-U/H-U, you could get a job with Kamala. I don't know what that means. Fayfair, F-A-E-F-A-E-R. And her. So if you could be a hoo-hoo or a her, you could be a fayfair and get a job. You can't make this up. 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to the phone lines. Diane in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hi, Diane. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about a higher power, and that's God. My world and my husband's world collided this summer. Our youngest daughter wasn't feeling well, and we just thought it was stress until she collapsed and was rushed to our biggest hospital. They found a mass on her brain. My husband and I prayed constantly, Todd. People I know prayed. Strangers I talked to, all strangers, and I emphasize all said they would pray. Today, she's going to go back to work in 2 weeks. She has to have some future MRIs, but this isn't the type that's going to spread, but they want to watch it. God put his arms around President Trump on July 13th, and he also did it to my daughter. And I truly believe, Todd, that God will overcome evil always. And I believe President Trump is going to be our next commander-in-chief. Amen.
Well, Diane, I'm so glad to hear that news, that terrific news about your daughter. And fortunately, we all serve a God who is in the business of doing miracles. And he did one with your daughter, and certainly he did one with Donald J. Trump in Butler County, PA.
He sure did, Todd, and I'll never, never doubt him ever as long as I live. He's there. People I never met before, they believe he's there. And, I was thinking this country was going down the wrong path, but it isn't. There are people out there that still believe in God in their mind and their hearts. strangers that I'd never met before that I got talking to said, "We'll say a prayer. What's her name?" I mean, she's a dance teacher. She teaches little kids to dance. She gives them love, confidence. She was never afraid to go in when the pandemic was there. She wiped their noses, kissed them on the head. She's a wonderful person, just like President Trump, and God is looking over all of us.
All right. Well, Diane, thank you for that good word, and thank you for listening to us today. Let's go to Connor in Massachusetts. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
God, my friend, you know, you struck a nerve with me before when you were talking about the diversity hires and Secret Service. What our country has come to over these past 4 years are these agencies, the Secret Service, which have been renowned forever, are falling victim to woke politics. It's like these people cannot do the job. It's not just there. It's all over our government, even going to the private sector now. One story I've been watching is out of Connecticut, where they have these DEI hires that are overviewing this board called Pura. And what they're doing is they're increasing the utility bills for each person who has like electric bills to pay for deadbeats who don't pay for theirs, and also to pay for electric vehicles with charging stations. And sometimes it really gets high. But these are often these diversity hires. These people don't know how to work in the private sector. They don't know how to understand a calculator. And when Trump gets in there, we need to really think of ways to get rid of these people in our government and in the private sector. We don't need these people. They can't do the job.
You know, Connor, it's going to be amazing to watch the reaction to people in your generation when the government shows up and they say, "Hey, look, you have a $300,000 house. However, a lot of people in this country don't have $300,000 houses, so you're going to have to give up your house. You're going to have to move somewhere else so we can accommodate somebody who doesn't have what you have. And the reason why is because you're a white person, or you're a black person, and you've got $1 million. Well, we're going to have to take that money away from you because a lot of Hispanic people may not have $1 million. That's what's going to happen under a communist regime. We saw this happen in Venezuela. And the only reason, and this is where I think this is going, Connor, the reason why it worked in the Soviet Union, and the reason why this worked, this redistribution of the wealth, the reason why it worked in Venezuela is because they disarmed the people. That's not going to happen here. And Connor, I can tell you, and I certainly hope this doesn't happen, but if in fact they decide to go down this path where there will be an actual redistribution of the wealth, there will be a civil war in this country. I have no doubt about that.
Well, I'll say one thing, my friend. The day they come for my NRA membership or my guns, and the day we take it to the streets.
That's it. I mean, it really is. That is the reality here, Connor, and it's always good hearing from you. And he's right. But folks, and you heard it from a guy that lives in Boston, Massachusetts. But am I wrong here? I mean, if they come in, if the government swoops in, and this is what Kamala is going to be laying out today, and if she implements these policies, there will be a redistribution process in America. They will take from you and they will give it to someone else. And all I'm saying is, if that happens, there will be a civil war. This country will not survive that. I'm just telling you, be prepared. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hi, Janice. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. Our country's in a very bad place, and there's a lot of people that just don't realize it. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm asking myself. I read the other day, and I had heard that Kamala, she's in favor of closing detention centers where these people are being held that are coming into our country here illegally. And I'm asking myself, if you close the detention centers, what are you going to do with the people? Are you going to camp them out in the park, let them go to hotels, hospitals? Where are you going to put them? Where are they going to live, huh?
This is fascinating.
They shouldn't even be here.
Janice, there's a story out of Aurora, Colorado, where the Venezuelans, there are so many Venezuelans living in Aurora, they're literally taking over the town. And it's basically Aurora, Colorado has been turned into a war zone. But to your point, there are almost 40,000 illegals that are in these detention centers, And my understanding is that some 10,000 of them are literally convicted criminals, and about 4,000 have pending criminal charges. So the answer to your question, Ms. Janice, is they're literally going to dump those people onto the streets of America. That's what's going to happen here.
Well, they won't even be, if they do that, they're not even going to have any room for the Americans that are homeless.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Or the veterans. I mean, everybody, if you're an American-born citizen, you get put to the back of Kamala Harris's red line. Ms. Janice, got to run. Folks, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is Open Line Friday. We'll be right back. All right, Elvis Week is wrapping up here in Memphis, and there's been a development in a weird story. So a couple of months ago, we told you that some woman tried to steal Graceland and extort the Elvis Presley family. And it was a crazy, crazy story. Well, now the other shoe is dropping. Apparently, the person responsible was not some Nigerian. It's a woman. Her name is Lisa Janine Finley, also known as Lisa Holden, and she's got a number of other aliases. She's 53 years old, and she's from Missouri. And she is now facing federal charges for trying to extort Elvis Presley's family out of millions of dollars and steal Graceland. They're saying all of this took place from her home in Missouri, and they said that there was like 15, at least 15 cops showing up at her home. This happened in Kimberling City, Missouri. NBC News reports a person with knowledge of the situation described a chaotic scene as Finley was arrested this morning, Friday morning, at her home with at least 15 cops coming to execute a warrant. Finley denied any involvement in the scam involving Graceland, but online accounts linked to the Graceland plot associated with Finley were deleted soon after the interview. So here's how all of this went down. This woman filed an official court claim that Lisa Marie, who died last year, owed her millions of dollars in unpaid loans. And after the family failed to pay, she tried to force a foreclosure sale, and it almost worked. It literally almost worked. The case made international headlines. A judge tossed out the case when he realized that some of the documents had been forged. Someone claiming to represent the scammers emailed media outlets saying a ring of Nigerian identity thieves was responsible, but it was some white chick in Missouri. That's terrible. So anyway, we'll see how all that goes down. What a weird, weird story. By the way, a little bit of Elvis trivia here. The Jungle Room, and I've been on the tour, and it's really a lot of fun. And if you have a family, that is a great. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. If you're a family coming to Memphis, you need to go to Graceland, take the kids. They're going to have so much fun. And I'm telling you, a new generation of people is coming to really respect Elvis and what he did and who he was. You go to Graceland, spend the day. You spend the night down at the Peabody Hotel. They've got great rates. You're going to be able to watch, get up early, and you're going to be able to watch the March of the Ducks, which I think is around 10 or 10:30. And that's a lot of fun. And then you need to go to the Memphis Zoo, which was named one of the top zoos in the world. It's really a great zoo. And so there's lots of family-friendly stuff to do here. And if you really want to go on a thrill ride, I'll give you some of the bad neighborhoods, and you can strap on the Kevlar and have at it. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is from CNN. Wow. You got to love Congresswoman Nancy Mace. She goes on CNN and she triggers these beta males that were on the panel because she mispronounced Kamala's name. And at this point, I don't even know what the real pronunciation is. So we just call her Kamala. Cut number five.
Trump injecting Vice President Harris's race and then suggesting that she's not actually black. Why is he doing that? Should he stop?
Well, I mean,
yes or no?
I didn't hear him say it. I didn't hear what he said about her race. I am not going to weigh in on her race as a woman.
He did say it.
Okay. Well, as
he
a woman,
said
I want to weigh
black,
in.
She turned black. He said she was raised Indian. She was Indian. All he knew. Now she's
turned
black.
Well, she's of mixed race. She's a mixed race.
He said that to the National Association of Black Journalists.
Right.
He went to and he said at the same event where he said he'd done more for black people than any president in history.
I guess here's the thing.
When he was president, wages for women were better than they've been in a long time. Wages for blacks were better than they've been in a long time.
The lowest black unemployment rate in history.
He did a lot of good.
Let me just finish this.
For
to both
people
of you.
From all walks of the
this
country.
Doesn't take that much courage, honestly, to just say that was out of bounds.
I don't know what he said. I didn't see
he
that.
He said that she turned black. He questioned whether she was really black. I don't think that's that hard to say. That's out of bounds. Can you say that?
I mean, I didn't say it, and I would not say it.
Wow. There was a lot of estrogen on that panel. Very little testosterone. But isn't it interesting? So now if you mispronounce Kamala's name, then that makes you a racist or some sort of a white supremacist or something, if you were following all of that. But again, this is what we are going to be dealing with between now and election day. You criticize Kamala Harris, you're a racist. It's really that simple. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play this piece of audio from CNN. They're explaining where Kamala Harris is getting most of her big mo. Cut three.
So set the scene. How are men and women responding to Harris? What's the big reason why Harris is gaining in the polls?
Yeah, all right. It's the gender gap. It's something we've spoken about in politics for a long period of time, and we're really seeing it here. All right, let's take a look at the national polls first. This is Democrat versus Trump margin, and I want to point out this is average across the same pollsters. Look at Biden versus Trump, women and men. What we see here is the gender gap is working in Donald Trump's advantage. He holds a 9-point advantage among men against Joe Biden, and Joe Biden only held a full 4-point advantage among women. But take a look now. Look at how the race has changed. Instead of having a 4-point advantage among women as Biden did, look at Harris's advantage. It leaps up to 11 points. In fact, men haven't changed their voting patterns at all, at least in the national polls. A 9-point advantage for Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, a 9-point advantage against Kamala Harris. What has occurred is women voters are flocking to the Democratic ticket. Look at that. Look at that. 4 points versus 11 points. That is the reason that Kamala Harris has turned this race around.
All right, there you go, folks. And again, this is going to be an insane campaign cycle. I still find it very interesting that Kamala Harris, Tim Walz are not talking at all about the DNC. By the way, we are expected to hear from Hillary Rodham Clinton. Mrs. Bill Clinton is going to speak. Also, Barack Obama. Obama is not going to be there, though, when Kamala Harris actually delivers her acceptance speech. So there's a lot of curiosity about that as well. All right, we've got to take a quick break here again, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
All right, you screwballs, attention. All present and accounted for, sir.
Okay. My fellow Democrats, media sycophants, and fellow travelers, I know you all have heard about and announced Project 2025. Today, we launch our own ideological offensive to win this election, Project 180. At our convention, we must take on the Herculean task of remaking Kamala and Tim as thoughtful, moderate Democrats. We must effectively change everything they've said or done in the past and present them as wholesome folk who love this country. Yes, yes, it will be hard, especially for the Hamas stormtroopers. But Project 180 is our only hope of winning this election. Remember, truth and facts are strictly on a need-to-know basis. If anyone confronts you with anything truthful about our nominees' records, tell them that was in the past. We are looking forward joyfully.
About that, can I say one thing?
Kamala, just keep on smiling.
But it hurts.
Well, it got me where I am today. You'll get used to it.
Company dismissed.
Hello, this is Sarah. I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor. I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two. This year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do, and if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And all this month, we are raising money to help feed children in need, hungry children. And all day today, it is $5 Friday. And so we are urging all of you to reach into your pockets and donate $5. And I can tell you, just in the course of the past couple of hours, we had hundreds of dollars in donations being made. And a lot of people are going well beyond just $5. Tom P. just made a one-time donation over $200. Dennis dropping $15 into the effort. Thank you for that, Dennis. Jay Thomas, $25. Joshua, $20. And so we want to say thank you already. Just in the first 2 hours, we have raised hundreds of more dollars. And we need your help by going to toddstearns.com and clicking on the Give Life banner. Well, I want to bring into the conversation from our good friends at Food for the Poor, Paul Jacobs. Paul, so happy to have you with us. And what an important thing that our audience is doing right now across America.
Todd, I love how practical you make this, $5 Friday, because, I mean, that's $5 is the new dollar menu, right? Everything is $5 now. We don't even think about it. We take it out of our wallet, or we, even more importantly, we swipe that little piece of plastic, and we don't even remember doing it. We look back at our statement and go, oh, yeah, that was that thing. You won't feel it, but what will be felt is the joy in your heart to know that on the other side of your giving, there is food. On the other side of that $5, there is water in a community. You know, today is not about a campaign. It's not about $5 Friday. It's really a call to action. It's a call to action for humanity and compassion and generosity. And Sarah, 16 years old, is no Silicon Valley executive. She's just a young lady that wanted to do something with her $80. And you could join her as well and make a difference.
I mean, imagine that. And again, you're right. Talking about a 16-year-old, you know, this is somebody who's probably working a part-time job and saving up her pennies. And instead of going out to a party or a concert, she's giving that money so that a child might have a hot meal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and it's interesting. My colleague who works with us here, he's got a 7-year-old. And we were at lunch recently, and he says, you know, my daughter found a $5 bill in the pocket of one of our jeans, either mom or dad. And he says, Daddy, this is for food, because she knows where he works. This is for Food for the Poor, the generous heart of a 7-year-old. And I love that because it's what we find in the Bible in Matthew chapter 18. And I remember when Jesus teaches us childlike faith, because it's the basis of kindness and compassion and understanding. And all we're asking you to do, listening right now on this $5 Friday, or maybe it's a $255 Friday for you, whatever God places upon your heart, we ask you to do it, because it is truly on the other side an act of kindness, compassion, and understanding. And I know a lot of people often say to us at Food for the Poor, There are so many in need of help. Why these families in Latin America and the Caribbean? And the answer is very simple. Here in the United States, and I'm a product of it as well, you know, growing up very poor in my own family and challenged when my being raised by a single parent household, we had safety nets, Todd. You know, we had the local church. We had government assistance. We had so many things at our disposal. These families, whether you know, in Honduras, in Guatemala, or in Haiti, that's not a reality. And they need you right now and your generosity.
You're so right, Paul. And again, folks, just in the past couple of hours that we've been on the air, hundreds of dollars has already been pouring in. I was checking our totals from this morning, and we've raised over $700 from that point. So well done to our great audience just reaching into their pockets. And you're right, Paul. You know, a lot of folks may be able to give $25 or $50 or $500, either a one-time gift or a monthly gift. But the point is that every single dollar matters. And that's why we're calling it $5 Friday, because it certainly is spurring a lot of people, you know, to jump in and join us.
That's exactly right. And, you know, just really think about it. You know, it's $5 Friday, but it didn't stop Leslie. Leslie gave $50. Jean with $52. Mary, she gave $25. I'm telling you, this is truly an act and a wave of compassion like never before. And we probably can identify in the tough times that we've all had. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. There is no one immune to struggle or challenges, no matter what station in life you're at. Mm. But you can remember what it was like when someone extended their hand and said, yes, I want to be there for you and want to help you and helped you out of the muck and the mire. My single parent, when we were growing up, to be totally transparent, we didn't have electricity in our home for a number of months. We didn't have running water. And my personal story, this is Paul's story, is that I remember jumping the fence to the abandoned house next door just to find a standing water pipe so that I could flush a toilet. That was my story until a knock on the door, Gardens Baptist Church, Pastor Daryl Orman stepped in, his evangelistic team. And what was so instrumental about that was he didn't just bring food. He brought the gospel. And my father and I, we were saved and became members of that church. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're resourcing a pastor on the ground in the countries where Food for the Poor serves so that they can minister not only food naturally, but also spiritually.
I just love this. And again, it's the spiritual component, folks, that is so vitally important, but we also have to meet the practical needs. And one of the ways we're doing that is making sure that these children have food in their stomachs, food in their bellies, and that they're being provided access to clean drinking water. And your donation, whether it be $5 or $500, or like Raphael, who just signed up and is going to be donating monthly $75. God bless you, Raphael. That's what it's all about here. So again, folks, go to toddstearns.com and click on the red Give Life banner. You can also text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555, and we'll provide you a link where you can give. And you can also call, and that number, and I want you to write this down. I'll share it with you twice, 855-353-4673. Again, that number, 855-353-4673. And you'll be able to talk to somebody at our call center as we help these kids. Paul, thank you so much for taking some time out of your Friday to come and join us as we continue our great cause here.
It's genuinely and truly an honor. Thank you, Todd. And thank you, everyone who's giving and listening to our message of hope.
All right. Again, Paul from Food for the Poor. And folks, we're going to be updating that list. So if you've given a donation, as soon as that information comes to us, we will share that and give you a shout out on the radio. And we just want to thank the thousands of our listeners that have already joined us today to make this a really incredible day. I mean, this is very impressive. So again, $5 Friday, head over to toddstearns.com. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to a great friend. We had to reschedule this interview from earlier in the week. Rhett Walker, who is a Grammy-nominated singer, is going to join us. He just performed at the Grand Ole Opry. We've got Rick from Iowa going to hang on through the break. It is Open Line Friday, so give us a call. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today, and trust you are doing well. I am really confused here by the job application for the Kamala Harris for president campaign headquarters here. So Kamala Harris is now offering jobs to people. They're trying to staff out the fill out their staffing roster, and the Kamala Harris campaign is now providing 9 different pronoun options. And someone pointed out that there are more pronoun options than there are policies coming from Kamala Harris. The website allows people to select from the God-given pronouns. That would be he, him, she, her, they, them. Or you can choose from the man-made pronouns, options like exe, exum, zezer, ilim, her, and hoo-hoo. I don't know why I find that humorous. Oh, by the way, people, we were wondering, what does hoo-hoo stand for? Well, it's our understanding that hoo-hoo is a person who wants to emphasize their humanity over their gender. What does that mean? Nobody knows what that means. Now, also, there is an option called fae-fair, F-A-E-F-A-E-R, which denotes a person is fluid between multiple genders but not masculine genders. So what are you talking about, lesbians? Is that what we're talking about here? I don't know. Potential hires are also allowed to write in custom pronouns. So I guess you can make up your own pronoun. So, I mean, Dylan, if you wanted to identify as a chicken tender, then, you know, there you go. Chicken / tender.
You know I would love that, right?
That would be pretty awesome.
Would I qualify to be hired, though?
LinkedIn requires you to put in your pronouns, so mine is buttermilk biscuit.
I love that.
There you go. Or you can just choose to go by name only when filling out the application. Now, here's the deal, though. You also have to, be vaccinated. So if you haven't got the clot shot, you won't be able to work for Kamala. Job seekers are also asked. So, you know, there's always an essay on these things, Dylan. Maybe we need to start doing that.
I think I'd be open to it.
So you have to write an essay. How would you contribute to building a diverse culture? You know what I would have said? I'm a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You're contributing.
I am. They're also given an option of completing a diversity survey. Oh, I hate those. Would you like, you know, you're on hold for customer service, and they say, would you like to take part in a brief survey so we can find out how you liked our customer service? And I'm like, no, I'm good. You've answered my question. That's good enough for me. Anyway, in the same vein, the Kamala Harris campaign says, once you complete, would you like to complete a diversity survey at the end of the application process? And so that's when they ask the million-dollar question. Do you identify as a member of the LGBTQIA+ community? There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, I predict a Kamala Harris campaign would be like a cornucopia of diversity hires. If you think right now, you know, in the Biden White House, you got all these transgender folks running around half butt naked on the White House lawn, showing off their medical mutilation scars, that is going to pale in comparison to what Kamala Harris is going to bring to the table. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. Again, 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, somebody asked, we got questions early on. We changed. We got rid of the 800 number. For one thing, if you've got a cell phone, you really don't need the 800 option anymore. But that phone number was costing us like $600 or $700 a month. This one doesn't. So there you go. 901-260-5926 is our number. We are waiting for Kamala Harris to announce her communist economic policies. That's happening in Raleigh. We'll dip into that if it happens. Want to go to the phone lines. Rick in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind today?
Todd, you make me laugh. That last segment when you came on the air, just I was sitting here chuckling.
Well, thank That's you, awesome. Rick. We love it when people can chuckle.
Oh, yeah. No, I just wanted to say I appreciate what you do. I can't listen to your radio program because it's tape delayed at 8 p.m. here in Iowa, Central Standard Time. And I just wanted to encourage you to keep going and be truthful and biblical, and that's something that this nation needs. I just care about talk radio. I listen to other talk radios, you know, with KXEL in Great Cedar Falls, Iowa, and I like their programming. But unfortunately, I can't get you at night because I work a night shift. I work third shift. But I enjoy listening to you. I enjoy the scriptures. I would like to give to the children for whatever your I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, the Food for the Poor campaign.
Yes. I give to a food bank here in Iowa, and I would encourage anybody listening, if there's a food bank in your area, you know, give what you can. Either take the food that you can or just a $5 donation like you're doing for your program, just to continue that, because there are people out there that it's not their fault. They're just hungry. We don't need to have hungry Americans running anywhere.
No, we don't, Rick. And I will say this. I think that's a noble thing you're doing. And you're right. If you can't give to the Food for the Poor, help out your local food bank. I know that KWAM, the radio station I own in Memphis, we do a lot, especially around the holidays, with the Union Gospel Mission in downtown Memphis, you know, helping provide them, you know, food so they can feed folks. And, you know, the Bible actually talks about this, that the Bible says the poor are always going to be with us. So there will always be a need. And that's, it doesn't matter for me. It doesn't matter if where you are, you know, and especially for children, you want to be able to take care of the kids. And that's what we're trying to do. And that is a noble thing that you are doing, Rick, as well. Thank you for those kind words and thank you for listening. And tell Jeff Stein over at KXEL to start running our show live so we can get more Iowa listeners. By the way, I also want to give a shout out to Justin Johnson, who is very involved, one of the leaders over at the Veterans of Foreign War chapter there in Collierville, Tennessee. And there's been some really exciting news, and this has been a tag team effort between Mr. Johnson and Shelby County Commissioner Amber Mills and KWAM. And I just find the fact that we had to go to war here over this is just appalling, but I've got some good news to share. So we have one of the largest military veteran populations in the state of Tennessee and in the Mid-South, and they only had two veteran service officers in this area to help out our veterans in need, and it's just unacceptable. So we've been working really hard behind the scenes, and Justin Johnson sent me a note last night that as a result of all of our efforts, we now have 10 veteran service officers in the area, and the county commission just donated $15,000 to make upgrades to the VFW so they can actually have a veteran service officer on site. So that is such great news. And again, it's just a small part of what we do here at our radio station, KWAM, where we're doing our best to try to help folks, and especially our military veterans. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, I'll be filling in on Prime News, and hope you tune in. We're going to have a great show lined up for you. Speaking of Newsmax, ladies and gentlemen, it is now officially the fastest growing news channel in America. And Newsmax says you can now be a part of what we're doing by investing. That's right. You can actually buy preferred shares in Newsmax. You say, Todd, how can I do that? Very simple. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And you're going to be able to buy shares with a credit card. Be sure to consult with your attorney, your financial advisors first, and they'll help you work through all of that. But again, it is a great opportunity. NewsmaxInvest.com. I am just really somewhat overwhelmed here, folks, as we're watching the donations coming in real time. And it's really a blessing. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Patrick making a one-time donation to our friends at Food for the Poor, $26. Catherine, $26 as well. Our good buddy Connor dropped $10. God bless you, Connor. And Robert, $25. And look at Tom here. Tom making a one-time donation of $210. Folks, it's so simple. All you have to do is go to toddstearns.com. And we're just asking $5. But if you want to give $500 or what, that's awesome. $5 Friday to help feed starving children and provide them and their communities with clean drinking water. Again, toddstearns.com. You will see the red banner. Give life. And here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do. If you give $100 right now today, you call in, make your donation, call in. And once we're able to verify that, I'm going to send you a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. That's what I'm going to do for you. If you give $100 donation right now, then we're going to hook you up with a Todd Stearns book. So here's the deal. What will happen is once you make your donation, call in. Lydia will get your info. And we're going to send you a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. All right. Let's go to the phones here on this open line Friday. What a blessing. That's just so exciting. Jim in Memphis, Tennessee, hanging out with us on KWAM today. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Fine, Todd. And listen, I need your help with something. Didn't know if you could give me a hand.
I'll do my best, Jim. That's what I'm here for.
You know, let me tell you the way that I kind of view myself. Let me tell you the way that I identify myself. And I guess the best way to describe the way that I identify myself is maybe as a congressman. And I wonder if I go to D.C., do you think they would honor that? I mean, my goodness, they're honoring everything else. I wonder if they could honor this for me.
So you're saying, Jim, from Memphis, Tennessee, you want to self-identify as a member of Congress?
Yep.
Oh, I like this idea. So you show up and there's the sergeant at arms and you're saying, hey, I now represent the city of Memphis. Where do I sit?
That's right. Because, hey, that's the way I identify. And, you know, they honor everything else. Why not this?
I love this. Jim, you may not be aware of this, but yours truly, Todd Stearns, I thought this was going to make more headlines. I announced that I was no longer a white man, but I was going to identify as a black man to get my reparation check. And I changed my name. I'm in the process of changing it to LeBron Stearns. So if I can self-identify as a black guy to get a reparation check, let me ask you, Jim, what would you do? They say, you know what, sir? If that's your preferred pronoun, then come on in, sir. You can self-identify. What would you do, Jim, as a congressman?
Oh, that's a great question. First thing I would do is appoint you to help me out with all the decisions I need to make.
Well, that would show you're diverse because you're hiring a black guy. I love this.
That's right. That's right. Hey, in all seriousness, love your show, and I want to go ahead and donate $10 right now to help out those children. And I really believe in what you're doing. I believe that you're looking out after our best interest and the best interest of others. Put me down for $10. I'd love to help out.
Jim, God bless you. I'm going to put you on hold, and Lydia will show you how, and she'll explain how you can do that. And God bless you, my friend, and Congressman Jim from Memphis, Tennessee. That's a great idea. Let's go to Randy in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Randy. What's going on?
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, Randy.
I've got a question to
sure.
ask.
Biden and Harris have brought all of these illegals into the country, including Hamas, and we know ISIS is here too. What's to prevent them, and I know the Democrats have a plan, from activating those cells in this country to create havoc at election time? And Biden has already ticked off of what's happened to him with Obama taking his place. And he declares martial law. That leaves everybody in place, no election. And because Zelensky, elections haven't happened since 2019 there, and he's still in charge. And then we've got Republican rhinos that are leaving the Congress the end of their term, which would be next year. Would that not give the Congress, the Senate, and the White House, would that not dump all the power in their hands to take over and pass through all the legislation that they want to by creating havoc with these immigrants?
It's possible, and it would depend on the magnitude of the attack. And Randy, my concern is that we have so many dangerous people that were able to infiltrate the border that you could have thousands of potential terrorists that are planted in cells that are located in cities and towns across the country. And if we were to have an October 7th style attack here in America, where you're talking about dozens of cities being hit either simultaneously or day after day after day, I would see the chance for the government to step in and declare martial law. Depending on the magnitude of the attacks, I think you could see a suspension of the elections but again, I think it would have to be a really shock and awe style attack on American soil.
Well, they wouldn't have to answer to anybody except themselves, and we've got a corrupt DOJ, FBI, and CIA. So, I mean,
well, even worse than that, Randy, we have a woke military right now, and that would be my greatest fear is would Lloyd Austin do the bidding of the radicals controlling the White House? It's a concern.
Yeah, they're turning our military into glitter and sparkles.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Randy, God bless you, and thank you for that. Let's go to Marianne in North Carolina. Hi, Marianne. What's going on?
I'm a regular listener, and I admire you so much, Todd. I had talked to you. I was calling to make a contribution to Hungry to get one of your new books. But something I was talking to you about the other day, when I called was, I think they ought to go back to the paper ballots. You said you could request the paper ballot.
Yes.
I mean, everybody ought to have to go to the polls.
1,000%.
Vote early if they have ID, but after election day, they'll know at the end of the day how many doggone votes we have.
Marianne, you're 1,000% correct, and you're a great patriot. God bless you. We're going to get you a book, and Lydia will show you how to donate. Folks, you can as well. ToddStearns.com. Click on that Give Life banner. We'll be right back. Wow. This is so amazing. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are getting real-time results now. Coming in, Robin, $52 donation. Gina, $10. God bless you, Gina. Hans and Tom and Dale all dropping in $5 to the effort as we raise money to feed hungry kids and provide these kids with fresh drinking water. Mary Ann called in. You heard her just a few moments ago. Said, Todd, I want to give $100 to the cause. And Mary Ann, I'm going to send you a signed copy of my brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Folks, anybody who donates $100 between now and the end of the show, you're getting a signed copy of my brand new book. Just our way of saying thank you. And that incredible music we just heard. Wow. It is an incredible song from the new album, Days That We Dreamed Of. It came out last Friday On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we are so honored to have Rhett Walker joining us, Grammy-nominated Dove nominee singer, and just performed at the Grand Ole Opry a while back. Rhett, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well, Thankful to be on the show. Also, just a quick fun fact, I lost every single one of those nominations.
But you're still a great American patriot. That's
hey, that's what matters more than winning any of them, man. I tell you that.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about the album in just a moment, but I want to find out for you. I'm just curious. What was that experience like performing at the Grand Ole Opry?
Man, it's insane. That was my 15th time playing the Grand Ole Opry, but this time was probably the most special because I had my daughter singing with me, my son playing guitar, and then my whole family made an appearance on stage with me in that circle. And when you step into that circle, I don't care how many stages you've played, it's just such a different experience to know the history and, you know, behind that little small circle piece of wood where everybody from, you know, me to Johnny Cash has stood and sang their songs.
You know, it's I had the opportunity one year to be a presenter at the Dove Awards. I had to give out the Christian hip hop music with Lecrae, and I didn't even know there was such a category. I had no idea. But I got to tell you, aside from not having any bling, I thought I did a good job. But I was terrified because you step out onto that historic stage, you know, and you're like, "Holy cow! It's the Grand Ole Opry."
I know. Me and you have been doing, you know, this for a hot second, and it's few and far between. I get a little worried, and stepping up on that stage, I think it's just the history, man. And then, you know, there's just a reverence to it that is, you know, really cool to say that our names have crossed that stage. And one of the funnest stages I've ever played.
Rhett, I was listening to, I own KWAM, the news talk station in Memphis, and we're going to be the flagship station for Mississippi State football. And we had some guys on, and, you know, we're a conservative talk station. And the guys said something, and I was so glad you were going to be on today because it sort of ties in. They were saying, you know what, we need this. We need football right now. We need an escape. You know, there's just too much chaos going on in the culture right now. And then I think about the great music that you're producing. And I think it's, you know, your album is really for such a time as this album, the days that we dreamed of.
Yeah. You know, thank God for football. Like when we hit the moment where it was like no more weekends without football, it was like a pressure release. And so I'm a Dogs fan. So I'm just excited to see what this year brings. But, you know, I think the craziness of what we do is sticking to what we believe in. And to put out an album called Days That We Dreamed Of in the days that no one's dreamed of can seem wild to certain people. But as a conservative believer who is, you know, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, and pro-closed borders, and pro-family, I was like, now's the time to put this out because the days that we dreamed of are not monetary things. Like a lot, you know, a new side by side. If you were to call me tomorrow and say, "Hey, I got you this new motorcycle," like I'm going to be happy. But the days that we dreamed of is really a family under one roof that loves each other, that values their views, not afraid to stand up for them, and values time together. Like that's the days that when me and April were 17, teenage pregnancy, the summer before our senior year in high school, that's the days that we dreamed of. And we're in them right now. Even though the climate's terrible and you turn on the news, it's terrible. As far as me and my family, like we woke up this morning with joy and, you know, a roof over our head. So really, what is there to complain about?
Absolutely. You know, you're so right. And I live in this world of politics, and people always ask me, how is it that you're still so hopeful? And it's because my hope isn't based on a political party. It's based on a much higher power.
Thank the Lord at home.
Amen. Exactly. But you know, it's funny there in the world of politics these days, Rhett. They're throwing around the word weird to describe, you know, people like you and me, people who love our families and love God and love our country. And I think the Bible actually predicted that, prophesied that, yeah, if you're a Christian, they're going to look at you as a weird person.
Well, yeah, I'm glad that they call me weird because that means I don't look like them, you know, and I'm a very outspoken artist. I catch a lot of flack for it. But my oldest is 19 and I got a 17-year-old, you know, she's voting for the first time this year. And I'm worried, you know, about the world that we're leaving them when caring about your family, working your butt off at your job, trying to pay your bills and sticking to an actual moral compass is weird. Man, that worries me. And the amount of believers, that, you know, jump me on my social media pages. Like I just posted last night, were coming after me because they're like, how could you vote for Trump? And how could you do this? Or how could you have these values? And the amount of Christians that vote person instead of policy, when that's what matters for our babies growing up, is insane to me.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And you know, John Cooper's a good buddy of mine. And I'll never forget the first time I had him on back when I was at Fox. And, you know, a lot of the Christian artists at that time did not want to be anywhere near politics. And so I was prepared for that when I sat down with John. And he said, right before we went on there, he says, hey, I'm good to talk about politics. And I'm like, really? So I was kind of going soft with the guy. And when he turned that microphone on, I'm like, sweet mercy, John, you're more conservative than I am. But I'm like, wow, might want to ease up, brother. But Rhett, to your point, I think that all of us, and especially as Christians, we have a responsibility to speak that truth, not just to the culture, but I think also to the church. Do you agree with that?
No, I 100% agree. You know, a lot of people, they like to not talk politics, you know, behind the pulpit. And I think there's a correct way to do it. I count what I do nightly, and I'm jumping on the bus tonight, as preaching. And so I don't mix Jesus and a political candidate. But I do mix Jesus, and that's the reason I vote for these policies. Because me and April, we've been married for 20 years. And like I said, we're a teenage pregnancy and had, you know, people in our corner that were always in our corner going, hey, just get rid of the baby. Go to your senior year in high school and act like nothing ever happened. And for us, that wasn't an option. And so me being pro-life is big to me and close to me. And so I think for me to talk about Jesus and my values as a family, but also not talk about certain things I believe in, I think is wrong and a missed opportunity.
You know, Rhett, before we let you go here, and folks, again, RhettWalker.com, R-H-E-T-T, Walker.com, RhettWalker.com. Got to get a copy of the new album, Days That We Dreamed Of. I've already got it in my playlist. I'll be listening to it at Shelby Farms later this afternoon. But I'm curious how this happens. You say that you've written songs on the record, and you're going to feel at home in a church as well as a honky tonk or the Grand Ole Opry. How do you write a song like that?
Well, I think if you just write an honest song, you know, we play bars and clubs and theaters and churches and Opry, and you know, we just played with Ludacris last weekend at the Sykes and Rodeo. Like,
oh wow,
we go wherever. But I think, you know, the coolest thing is when you write a song that has Jesus in it. And I've had this happen before. People come up to me and they're like, man, I don't know about that Jesus thing that you sang about in that one song, but I know you believe what you believe and I respect that. And I'm like, man, that's a great start of a conversation, you know, and faith like a mustard seed. And if we started that, while someone's holding up a beer or holding up, you know, a water, like it, none of that matters to me. I try to walk in the door that the Lord opens and go, you know, hey, here's what I believe. Here's what I've been through. Here's my life and, you know, and lessons learned through it.
I just love that. Well, Rhett, God bless you, brother. A big fan of your work.
You too.
And we appreciate you coming on the program. We'd love to get you back soon one of these days.
Brother, thanks so much, man.
All right, Rhett Walker, ladies and gentlemen, and just a good man, great music, RhettWalker.com. Don't forget, as we go to break, man, over $1,000 has already been raised just in the past 20 minutes, and I just can't thank you enough. ToddStarnes.com, click on the Give Life banner, and I'm going to, again, anybody who donates $100, I'm going to sign a copy of my book. Make your donation, call in, and Lydia will get your info. Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back. These are the days that we dreamed of. For a little piece of land with a sunset backdrop. Little brick house on a half acre map. Our kids running in and out of that door. Blessings came down, man, the old us would be so proud. We got all we ever need in this song. Crazy looking back at where we came from the days that we dreamed of. All right. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. Roseanne in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Roseanne, I understand that you've made a big contribution today.
Yes, I was happy to do so, Todd. Thank you so much for that opportunity.
Well, God bless you. You donated $100 to our friends at Food for the Poor. We are helping to raise money all this month. Our goal is $20,000, and we started out a little slow, but we're starting to really cook with gas, as they say, Roseanne. And
wonderful.
And I'm excited to be able to send you a copy, a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, just as a way of saying thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much. And I wanted to tell you also, I put it on Facebook so everybody in my little community can see that they can do some help, give some help also.
I just love that. I just do. Roseanne, God bless you, and thank you so much for your great donation. That was very kind.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate seeing you on the Newsmax also. We love you.
Well, thanks, Roseanne. Well, I'll see you tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. I am actually filling in, folks, on Prime News. And a lot of people are saying, what's going on there? Well, you're just going to have to wait and see. So they've got us. They're trying us out. And depending on audiences, and we've had really good audiences so far, you never know. So we may end up be doing a regular nightly TV show as well as all of the other things that we're doing. So we'll just have to wait and see. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Kamala Harris talking right now. I didn't want to. I can't handle the cackle. I just can't, ladies and gentlemen. So you got to bear with me. But we'll play some of that on the on Newsmax tonight. But I am telling you, this woman is a flat out communist. And God help all of us if this woman gets elected to office. That's all I can tell you. All right, real quick here, I want to give out some more numbers. And again, if you give. Again, if you give today a $100 donation, we will send you a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Here's how it's going to work. You make your donation, and then you call Lydia, and Lydia will get all of your information, and we will send you a copy of the book. So, again, Roseanne's donation, $100. Jim making a one-time donation of $75. God bless you, Jim. Josephine, $50. Brooke, $100. I hope I'm getting this right. Is it Tamara or, Tamara, $50. And Joanne, $25. So, wow, we really appreciate the great generosity of all of our great listeners. All right. Big trouble brewing in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, you know, they have had a very long history and a bad track record when it comes to religious liberty and defending religious liberty. You might remember the great Roger Williams. Many of you may not. He's been dead for centuries. He was actually banished from Massachusetts in 1635, literally kicked out of the colony because he spoke out against the Church of England. So what did Roger Williams do? Where did he move? I know our friend Carlotta, Miss Carlotta, would know the answer to that. went over to a place called Rhode Island. So anyway, fast forward to the year 2024. A local government has now banned a church from using a public library's community meeting room. You want to hold a gay rights meeting? No problem. Want to hold a macrame class? No problem. You want to hold a Bible study? Whoa, Nelly, hold everything. Nope, can't do that. So the town also ordered that the local newspaper remove an ad promoting the church. What the heck? So here's the deal. American Center for Law and Justice, they are representing the church. Now, we can't tell you the name because they don't release that information, and I kind of sort of respect this, but it also bothers me as a journalist. But ACLJ, they don't like releasing the names unless they have to go to the courthouse and file a lawsuit, and then it all becomes public. So they're trying to work all of this stuff out behind the scenes. So we can't share the particulars. But when the church was banned from holding a Bible study in the community room, they decided to meet in the town park on the grass. And we're talking about like five or six people, not a big group. And they just wanted to do an outdoor summertime Bible study on the grass in the park. And the town leader said, no, you can't do that. It's against the law. You can play frisbee, but you can't talk about the Bible. And so the church had taken out an ad promoting the fact they were going to be in the town park, and town leaders called the newspaper and said, you can't run that ad. What? You can't? Wait, what? What the heck is going on? So anyway, both of these are egregious violations of the Constitution. We do have something called a free press. You can't call up and tell the media not to do something. And you certainly cannot ban Christians from holding a little Bible study in a public library community meeting room. I'm just impressed they have that many Christians up there. There you go. All right, folks, again, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Looking forward to seeing all of you there. Then heading out and watching the Little Stearnses. They got the big football jamboree tonight. That's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll have a great night out there under the Friday night lights. In the meantime, folks, you get out there and you have an incredible Friday. Thank you so much for donating, and you're going to be able to donate throughout the weekend, and we're going to keep track of all those donations. Again, toddstearns.com, click on the Red Give Life banner, and they'll take it from there. All right, want to thank our great team here in Memphis and Chicago. In the meantime, you get out there, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.